Randola?
Hello? Yeah, it's me. Is nobody else on?
Oh, well, we'll be here in a few minutes, I'm sure.
Well, it's already 10:34 over here.
Hello?
Hello?
Hi, Judy.
Hi, how y'all doing tonight?
Pretty good.
Good. Are y'all the only ones on?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Did I interrupt any conversation?
No, we were quiet.
Okay. Well, let's see if we can liven things up. Everybody had a good Shabbat, I hope.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah. Mine was busy, but yeah, I had a nice one.
And I learned all about the chocolate Passover Seder for children. Seems to be the theme of things
struck.
These days. Evidently, it's a fad right now to take our traditions and turn them into fun things for kids.
Oh, good. Trying to teach children.
Mm-hmm.
That's always. And it's going to be an interesting few months, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Let's read from the Zohar, from the Parsha of Acharei. After the death of the two sons of Aaron. Section 1. The first pasuk. Vayehi noam Adonai Eloheinu aleinu maaseh yadeinu kununeh aleinu maaseh yadeinu kununeh. Vaydaber Hashem el Moshe acharei mot shenei b'nei acharon. V'gomer, v'yomer Hashem el Moshe, Rabbi Yehuda amar, k'wan diktiv, v'daber Hashem el Moshe amai zina, achara v'yomer Hashem el Moshe daber el acharon. Achich deha b'milula ad ma'asagei elah hakitaneinan kitiv v'ikra el Moshe v'daber Hashem elav uktiv el Moshe amar ale el Hashem. Wehaukbuka milad haka darga achad ubatar darga achara ufaka vaydaber Hashem el Moshe darga achad ubatar vayomer Hashem el Moshe daber el acharo. Achik darga achara lekol abachad matkala tzalka umin sharsha chad kula it takhabar. And Hashem spoke to Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron. And Hashem said to Moses, Rabbi Yehuda comments, since the verse says, and Hashem spoke to Moses, What need is there to repeat? And Hashem said to Moses, speak to your brother Aaron. The first statement should have sufficed. The answers would learn that it is written, and Hashem, literally he, called to Moses, and literally Hashem spoke to him. And also, and he said to Moses, come up to Hashem. It has already been established that the discourse here, namely, and he called to Moses, or and he said to Moses, represent one level, namely, Malchut. Afterwards, the words, and Hashem spoke to him, or come up to Hashem, represent another level, namely, Zeranpin. Here, too, in our text, and Hashem spoke to Moses, represents one level, namely the level of judgment referred to as speaking. And afterwards, the verse, and Hashem said to Moses, speak to your brother Aaron, represents another level, namely the quality of mercy referred to as saying. In both instances, the name Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh is mentioned, which reveals that they carry one equal scale and all are joined from one source. This means that both levels, judgment and mercy, are of one scale from one source, which is Zeranpin, referred to as Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh. My commentary. Today, when the wisdom of Kabbalah has been revealed to many people, and the discussion of the level of the six emotions are unified as the name Zeranpin, this pasuk seems a little superfluous. Yet when we realize that the idea of judgment and mercy being unified in the central column, many of us may have a different revelation of what is being explained. I hope that is true, since it is important to realize that the name Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, which we think of as a name of mercy, also has an aspect of judgment. After all, the Torah says that Hashem of mercy was the cause of the flood described in the generation of Noah. Too much love can be overpowering, overwhelming. Zeranpin consists of two sets of three emotions. These two sets include mercy and judgment and the balance point. Remember this and do not become confused by the English translations of the words chesed and apply it to the name Hashem. Any questions? Pasuk 2. Acharei mot shnei b'nei acharon Rabbi Yitzhak betach Yivdu et Hashem b'yira B'gilu b'irada Uktiv yivdu et Hashem b'simcha Va'u lefanav bir nana kane karae Kashyanachate elahakitana Ivdu et Hashem b'ira v'kol kuchana divae Barnash lepif lach kame marea Bidkad neta ba'eira ledachala mineya Ugin dechala demareya Ishtakach levatar Bi'ave bechet bavta Bikudei oraita Wealda ketiv ma Hashem Elohecha shoel meimach yi'im le'yira. After the death of the two sons of Aaron, Rabbi Yitzchak opened the discussion saying, serve Hashem in fear and rejoice with trembling. It is also written, serve Hashem with gladness. Come before him with singing. These verses appear to contradict one another, as one says, serve in fear and trembling, while the other says, with gladness and singing. He answers, we have learned that serve Hashem in fear means that one must first show fear and awe in every act he wishes to perform before his master. As a result of this reverence before his master, he will merit to serve with joy the mitzvot of the Torah. Therefore it is written, what does Hashem your Elohim require of you but to fear? Through fear, he will merit it all. My commentary. Rabbi Yitzchak is asking an excellent question. What does it mean to serve? To serve Hashem. Does it mean do a mitzvah and that is your service to Hashem? And what is your kavanah or your consciousness that is recommended when you do this or that mitzvah? The Zohar is hinting in this pasuk that one needs to start at the low level of fear of Hashem and then grow to a higher level of gladness, joy, and song. Without fear, one cannot attain true gladness or sing with the joy expressed by the Levites in the temple. There is much to learn on these two subjects, fear of Hashem and ahava of Hashem, love of Hashem. The third pasuk.
Can I ask a question? Excuse me.
Of course.
Is fear there meaning awe, as we usually think of it? Or actually, it's not actually fear, like to be afraid?
Well, the Hebrew word that's being translated is yirah.
Okay.
And yirah comes from a shorash that means vision, the being seeing. And fear that of being like being frightened or being afraid is an emotion that comes not through sight. The Hebrew word yirah has two aspects, a dual aspect. And it's usually translated in the older translations, 30 years ago, it was always translated as fear. And then about 20, 25 years ago, people started to talk in terms of awe. They felt that fear was a negative emotion and not appropriate to translate it that way. And yet, both meanings are very real. Because to have awe of Hashem means to tremble in fear. To have awe of Hashem starts with a lower level, which is trembling. That's what's being expressed in this verse in the Zohar. Should I continue, or is that a sufficient answer for you?
No, that's sufficient. I felt like it was, trembling fear. But as of late, we had been using the word awe, so it was kind of confusing to me. But you did a good job there. Thank you.
Both aspects are built into the word.
Mm-hmm.
And it really needs to be understood that when we translate into English, we're getting these types of corruptions that lower the essence of the message.
Well, I think it's that constant in English. We have so many words that we need to say, where in Hebrew you need fewer words that have all that meaning within it.
Correct. When you look at the Hebrew, I mean, you there's words within words, there's letters next to each other, and this creates different perceptions, different essences. Pasuk 3. Ugi lu birada biasir leya lebarnash lemech deyatir bialmadein hai bemile bialma ava bemile dioraita ufki tfi kudite dioraita ba'el mechte levatar yishtekach bar nashti ya'avid v'ched v'avta pikudei o'raita diktiv ivdu et Hashem v'simcha and rejoice with trembling. Meaning that man must not overly rejoice in this world, referring only to worldly matters, but one must rejoice in matters of Torah and the performance of precepts. Then, as one will refrain from rejoicing in mundane matters, man will find himself able to perform Torah and precepts with happiness, as it is written, serve Hashem with gladness. I'm adding, this seems to be confusing in that there is a separation between mitzvot and worldly matters. One needs to realize that it's not what the Zohar is hinting here. One needs to realize that every action needs to be done with the consciousness of joy and gladness, along with the consciousness of awe of the Creator. This is what is meant by and rejoice with trembling. Tremble with awe and rejoice with laughter and joy. Yet this laughter and joy must be tempered so that it does not get out of control. This is the meaning of shniut, which is translated as modesty. Pasuk 4. Rabbi Abba Amar, Yivdu et Hashem, Yira razad mila, who do et Hashem. Yira ma yira, akaila kimadi okimna, diktiv yirat Hashem. Reshit daat uktiv reshit, ach ma yirat Hashem. Yirat Hashem kudsha baruch hu, aki kre Rabbi Elazar, amar yivdu et Hashem, v'yira man devae, v'mevat ulchana, v'mareya me'anatar sharei ufan, atar yikavein. Uchana l'diyachada shema demareya Chadar v'amar v'yira v'yira U'sheruta mitata v'eila. Rabbi Abba said, serve Hashem in fear. What fear is meant here? In other words, what is the explanation in this context of yirah? Is it fear or is it awe? He answers, as we have established, it is written, the fear of Hashem is the beginning of knowledge, and the fear of Hashem is the beginning of wisdom. So the Holy One, blessed be He, is referred to in this name, fear of Hashem, namely Malchut. Rabbi Elazar said an explanation of Rabbi Abba's words, serve Hashem in fear, meaning he who wishes to perform the service of his master, from what point should he begin and to which area should he aim his service in order to unify the name of his of this of his master. He repeats his words with fear, because fear, which is malchut, is the start of service, going from below upwards. As the first sefirot, going from below upwards, is malchut. I am adding, the actions of a person doing mitzvot is called female waters. This is also the name of malchut. The fear of Hashem will bring you up to the higher levels by causing one to develop the consciousness of fear, of awe. Pasuk 5. Bachati makati vaka achare mot uvatar daber el acharon achi ichal vigomer וזאת יבוא אחרון, אלא מכאן שירותה, ואז חרה לקחנה, כל מן דוויין, להזדחרה, והי זאת תדעי, יראת השם. Come and see, it is written here, after the death, and later it speaks, to speak to Aaron your brother. Thus shall Aaron come. What connection is there between after the death of to the verse thus? And literally it says, with this shall Aaron come. He answers, from the death of the sons of Aaron commences the warning to each of the priests that they must be mindful of Zot, which is the fear of Hashem, which is Malchut. For the deaths of the sons of Aaron, were as a result of their negligence in relation to Malchut. I'm adding, Nadav and Abihu had decided, according to the Midrash, that they were unwilling to get married. In their opinion, there was no woman worthy of their spiritual level. This is what is being said in this pasuk. This is the mistake that they made with relation to Malchut. Verse 6. Shnei b'nei acharon. Rabbi Yossi amar acharei mot Nadav v'Avihu. Mi ba'ei le'ya. Mem tet shnei b'nei acharon. V'hayidia divno chawo. Ela hakitana. V'ad kan lav birshutaihu. Kaimela birshuta, diavuhon ukich bekarbatam, livne Hashem vayamuto, dinun dechaku, shata bechaye, diavuhon vikola, hawa begin hahuchova, diavu diktiv bechak. Rivam, Esh Sara Ditanya, Beatar Chad Ketiv, Behach Rivam, Esh Sara, Uvatar Chad Ketiv, Bekarvatam Lifnei, Hashem Behai, Behai Chawa, Ukich Ketiv, Akabenei Acharon. Ukti bikarvatam. Another explanation for after the death of the two sons of Aaron. Rabbi Yossi said it should have read after the death of Nadav and Abihu. So what is the reason that it says the two sons of Aaron? It is obvious that they were his sons. the answers. We have learned that until that time, they were not adults, but still under the authority of their father. Consequently, the verse refers to them as the sons of Aaron. Hence, when they came near before Hashem and died, they were rushing the time of offering incense during the lifetime of their father. As is indicated later, and there was more, meaning other causes precipitated by their death, precipitated their death. Also, because of the sin they committed when they offered a foreign fire, as we learned in one place it is written, when they offered a foreign fire, and for this reason they died. Another place it is written, when they came near before Hashem, they died because they sacrificed, because they rushed the time to burn incense during the lifetime of their father, as mentioned above. This means the combination of both matters caused their deaths. So it is written here, the two sons of Aaron, to teach that they were still under the authority of Aaron, as declared above. It is written, when they came near, for the death was as a result of their approach before Hashem during the lifetime of their father. I am adding, there are many reasons why Nadav and Abihu ended up dead. One was not being married. Two was not showing proper respect to Aaron during his lifetime. Three, not showing proper respect to Moshe during his lifetime. Four, desire to get closer to the Creator. Five, desire to shorten the process of our cycle of years. Six, provide a consciousness for someone to connect with them so that they create a method of removing the sins of the generations, and many other reasons. Contemplate this. It applies to why people die. And it applies to why and how we can choose to no longer need to die. Pasuk 7. Amar Rabbi Shia Yomachad Chawena Azio Biarcha Lemechach Gabe Diribi Shimon Levelach Minea Parshita Depischa Arit Bechatura Rachamena Bekin Gumin Bechat In Ra'u Train Guvrin Ba'ad Chavena Azil Shemana Hala Binun Guvrin Bechawo Amrin Shir Mizmor Livne Korach Gadol Hashem Umkulal Meod Gomer My Shir Mizmor Ela hakitana mishmeya de Rabbi Shimon shir deihu kapul shir deihu meshubach meshubach mishar shirin beadehu meshubach mishar shirin Shirin zinin itzmar be'a Shirata v'shem mizmor Shir liyom ha-shabbat ha-chagi Shir ha-shirin ha-shir li shlomo Shirata le'ela min shirata. Rabbi Chiya said, one day I was traveling to Rabbi Shimon to be taught by him the laws of the Pesach Passover. I encountered a mountain, and I saw clefts and cavities in one rock, and two men were in there. As I approached, I heard the voices of these people who were saying, a song, a psalm for the sons of Korach. Great is Hashem, and highly to be praised. Wherefore a song, a psalm, he answers? Thus do we learn on behalf of Rabbi Shimon. The song is twofold, namely a song and a psalm. And since it is a better song than other songs, it is named song twice. Similarly, a psalm, a poem for the Shabbat day, meaning that it is more praiseworthy than other songs. In the same fashion, the Song of Songs, which is Solomon's, Shir HaShirim, indicating a song that stands above all other songs. I'm adding, if someone looks at the 150 psalms, one can realize that there are 10 names for songs. There is a hierarchy from the name alone. There is also an additional merit when it uses two names, like a song, a psalm. Does anybody have any questions? Pasuk 8. Shir Mizmor, Shirata Dekudsha Barichu, Dekamazem Re, Bene Korah, Alinun, Deyatve, Alpitcha, Dekehinom, Umaninum, Achuchom, Deinun, Deyatve, Petare, Dekehinom, Be'ad shirata, da b'yom sheni itmar, da rivna, gabayhu amena, lehu mai asakaiku, ba'atar da amru, mizame anan, utre yome b'shabata, Bedil na mishuva, bena asek beoraita, begin de la shalkin, lan bene nasha, oyoma, weyoma, amena zaka'a, bula kechon. Also here, where it is written a song, a psalm. This song is superior to others. It is a song describing the Holy One, blessed be He, which the sons of Korach were singing about those who were dwelling in the doorway of Gehinnom. Who were the sons of Korach? They were the brothers of those residing at the gates of Gehinnom. As the holy sages comment on the verse, the sons of Korach did not die, but a place was set for them in Gehinnom. As a result, this song was recited on Monday in the temple. I approached them and said to them, "What are you doing in this place?" They replied, "We are merchants, but twice weekly we leave our community to study Torah here, because in the settlement we are disturbed each day by people, and they do not allow us to study Torah." I replied to them, "How fortunate is your lot?" I'm adding, this pasuk is teaching us the priority of Torah study over earning a living. There is balance being described here. You study Torah, you make time for Torah, yet you also earn a livelihood, as that is the place you manifest your Torah knowledge. We also learn from this pasuk that there is a hierarchy to all things. There's much more in this pasuk than just those few things I've mentioned. I'd like you to think, when you read the pasuk, when I read it to you, when you heard it, what did it mean when it said there was a mountain with clefts? Did you think of a physical mountain? did you think of one of the patriarchs? As in the Zohar, the word mountain refers to as a code word to the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And what is a cleft in a patriarch? A place where he is carrying other souls? Or is it a way of describing closeness between souls? Different ways of understanding the same thing. The Zohar is not meant to be read literally either, just like the Torah. You read the Torah literally, you're called a fool in the Zohar. Pasuk 9. Tupachu v'yamru v'kolzim na bitzadikaya mistalke me'alma dina istalak me'alma umitachon bitzadikaya mekaperet alchavei dara v'alda parshita divne acharon v'yom adikipure karenan lala mefeve kapara l'chove hom v'yisrael amarku chavarichu idasku mebitat hom the tzadikaya ilein v'yit tashav leku ke'ilu atum mekarpin karbanin b'chayoma v'kapra alayichu v'chamenan kozimna v'yisrael yechon v'galuta v'layikravu karbanin b'chayoma v'inun tirein se'irin la'yaklin l'karva yehelehu b'kdukrana v'itre b'nei acharon v'itkaper alayhu. Furthermore, they said, for each time that the righteous departs this world, there is likewise annulled from this world all the harsh decrees, and the death of the righteous brings forgiveness for the sins of the generation. Therefore, we read the portion dealing with the sons of Aaron on Yom Kippur, to bring forgiveness for the sins of Israel. The Holy One, blessed be He, says, contemplate the death of these pious ones, and it will be accredited for you as if you offered sacrifice this day to attain forgiveness. We have learned that as long as Israel will be in exile and neither be able to offer offerings on this day, nor will they be able to offer the two goats, they will at least have the memory of the two sons of Aaron. Thus it will serve as atonement for them. I'm adding, this pasuk teaches a very valuable spiritual law and tool. On Yom Kippur, and when we hear the reading of Acharei, our feelings of connection to the sons of Aaron, to Nadav and Avihu, will allow their energy as righteous tzaddikim to remove the mistakes of our generation. May it happen this reading, and on Yom Kippur, which in 5775, will have a connection to the blood moon events and the name of Hashem. Pasuk 10. Dehaki olifna diktiv wa'eleh Shemot b'nei acharon al kol chanim v'gomer Uktiv habakor nadavi avihu Elazar ve'itamar. Ve'elazar ve'itamar bima eleya. Mahu Elazar ve'itamar elashakul hawa. Avihu kitreyahu v'naedav kekulhu. We have learned that it is written, these are the names of the sons of Aaron, the priests. And also Nadav, the firstborn, and Avihu, Elazar, and Itamar. He questions, it should read, and Elazar and Itamar, just like it says, and Avihu. So why write Elazar and Itamar? Why delete the connecting and, the connecting vav from Elazar? He answers, Avihu was equal to his two brothers. The verse equates Avihu to Elazar and Itamar, and Nadav is equal to all the others. I'm adding, the Pasuk again teaches us, and we do need this reminder, how important individual letters of the Torah actually are. By removing a simple vav in the name Elazar, we learn that Avihu was equivalent in his desire to receive qualities to both Elazar and Itamar. By putting a vav in the name Avihu, we find that Nadav is equivalent in his soul capacity to all three. There is also a hint that a priest is equivalent in soul capacity to the people he serves. This is very meaningful to our own soul growth. To be a nation of priests means that we must be equivalent as a nation to the other 70 nations in order to serve as priests for them. Pasuk 11. V'timatnei habakor nedav Da bilchodo, v'avihu bilchodo, v'kal chadit chashiv, v'eneya, yitar vayhu, ke'elazar v'itamar, aval nedav v'avihu, bilchodayhu, shekulim, awo lekabel shavim, Sanhedrin dechavo, Misham Shin Kame Moshe Ugin Kach Mitat Chom Mekapura Al Yisrael Ve'al Da Ketiv Achechem O Beit Yisrael Yivku Et Hasrefa Ve'amar Rav Shimon Habakor Nadav Tulomar Ahu Dekol Shevacha Vayikara Dileya Nadav Yavihu Alachat Kama Vekama Dechane Tireila Ishtachahu Karwa Taihu Vyishtachahu. The firstborn Nadav stands on his own merits, and Avihu rests on his own. And following them, Elazar and Itamar are read as joined together to teach that each one of Nadav and Avihu are considered in the eyes of Scripture as both Elazar and Itamar together. But both Nadav and Avihu by themselves are each considered equal to the 70 members of the Sanhedrin who served before Moses. For this reason, their deaths atoned for Israel. Therefore it is written, but let your brethren, the whole house of Israel, bewail the burning. Rabbi Shimon said, therefore the verse specifies Nadav, the firstborn, meaning he is the one that all acclaim and praise are his. How much more so with Nadav and Avihu together, because these two have no equal among all of Israel. I'm adding, this continues the teaching and the commentary from the previous pasuk. That's the end of the section. Does anybody have any questions? We will be teaching tomorrow at 10:30 in the morning. We're going to continue our learning about preparation for Passover. Monday at 5:30, we will teach about the letters. We finished our teaching, time being, on the Notarikin. We'll be moving on to how to pronounce the letters. We'll be moving on to other levels as well. Tuesday at 7 o'clock, we'll be teaching advanced reincarnation. Wednesday, we'll be teaching about tzedakah and
tithing.
And tithing, thanks. And Thursday night, I'm not sure if we're going to do a Zohar class at 7, if we're going to need to do an additional preparation for Pesach. We have a lot of Pesach material to be catching up on, like 4 different handouts, and only 2 Sundays prior to the actual Seder. So we probably will have an additional Pesach preparation this coming Thursday at 7 o'clock. Or maybe we will do it next Saturday night when we speak of the Zohar. Perhaps we will add a preparation for the Seder that night as well. We'll see how far we get tomorrow. Any questions before I wish you Shabbat Shalom and Chag Sameach? I hope you're all making your connections to each month. Have a beautiful, beautiful week.
Thank you. You too.
Thank you. Shalom.
Good night.
Shalom, you all. Good night.